Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this morning.
Amen.
Thank you we could be here together.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this college training.
Amen.
This college training where we can exult.
Amen.
We can exult with joy.
Amen.
Joy that is unspeakable.
Amen.
Oh, even though we have never seen you,
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
This morning we just tell you again. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this training.
Amen.
Thank you for teaching us,
Amen.
Training us,
Amen.
How to exercise our spirit,
Amen.
How to touch you in our spirit,
Amen.
How to live you out,
Amen.
Oh, in all that we are,
Amen.
In all that we do.
Amen.
We just love you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now we come to message 3 of morning session 1, which is on exercising the spirit to enjoy the Lord. Amen. We need to exercise our spirits.
Amen.
Okay, how about we read the title of this message all together? Exercising the spirit to pray to the Lord. Amen. So this is, just to kind of recap, The first message this week on this line was exercising the spirit to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We need to learn how to call on the name of the Lord,
Amen.
At all times. And then yesterday's message was exercising the spirit to muse on the word of God. Very good that we learn how to muse on the word, how to be in the word, be saturated with the word, so that it would supply us through the day. And then today is exercising the spirit to pray to the Lord. Tomorrow we'll be exercising the spirit to sing and give thanks to the Lord.
Amen.
Kind of envious of the brothers get to share that message. Because I love to sing, right? Singing is a very, very great way to enjoy the Lord. And then the last message, you all may know this, is exercising the spirit to speak for God.
Amen.
And you guys will be giving that message. So I'm praying for you. Amen. So I feel burdened to point out, just in the title of the message, it says exercising the spirit to pray to the Lord. You notice how the S there is capitalized? Does anybody know why that S is capitalized? Huh? Because it's a title, that's right. So just wanted to do, I feel that this is important to point out that when we make outlines, we follow the English convention, which is to capitalize every word in the title except for the preposition. So exercising the spirit to pray to the Lord, because pray and Lord, well, Lord would be capitalized, but pray is also capitalized because it's part of the title. So this is not saying exercising the Holy Spirit, right? But it's actually exercising our human spirit.
Amen.
You have a spirit. And this is something you should know well, that your spirit is meant to be exercised.
Amen.
It's meant to be touched, and it's meant to help you touch the Lord. And so I feel also burdened to point out, you know, I've heard it several times that this week, this college training, the atmosphere has been very high. And actually, you know, I'll even say that when I shared in March at the college conference. And during that sharing, I walked away, I was surprised because I didn't expect this, but I walked away feeling like the students were very engaged. Like everyone was really not just paying attention, but even drawing out the speaking. And that made me feel really encouraged. And I want to encourage you all as listeners, as ones who are here receiving the message, Part of the responsibility is on the speaking brothers to share the message, but part of the responsibility is on you to draw out the message, and the way to draw out the message, it's not just about paying attention, but it's about exercising your spirit.
Amen.
It's about even praying, just like you learned in the gospel activity when you're out on the gospel and your partner is sharing the gospel, you should be praying for that person. You should be praying that the Spirit would flow and that the speaking would really touch the person who the sharing is going to. So it's the same way in the message, and I just wanted to encourage you all because I really feel like This week has been a great week. This year, it seems, has been a great year. There seems to be a desperation, and I want to encourage that. I want to strengthen that so that you all would remain in your exercise. And then also this word exercise is something that we need to focus on, and we need to learn that our spiritual life, much like our human life, is a life of exercise, right? And what does this mean? This doesn't mean that, you know, because we enjoy the Lord, but sometimes, you know, what does the word exercise imply? It implies that there's some forcing, right? Even that there's some resistance. So there's some resistance to our spiritual life. Just like there's resistance, you know, if you go running, right? You have to battle the resistance of, you know, of forces that trying to hold you down. You know, even there's psychological forces that say, I don't want to expend energy. But you have to overcome that, right? You have to fight that. And so it's the same with our spiritual life. Spiritual life requires exercise. It's not something that's automatic. It's not something that's default. We are, by default, if you read Ephesians, by default, we're in death, right? So we need to, that's why we talked about being revived, because we need to exercise in order to be revived. And this involves having, and this is another word I really hope everybody would think would characterize your spiritual life, and that is practice, right? It needs to be a practice. It needs to be something that is regular and something that you just do. I was reading some ministry recently about tithing. Brother Lee was talking about giving a tenth of your money. And some people think that this is a matter of faith, right? In order to give to the Lord, you need more faith. But actually, giving is not a matter of faith. It needs to be a matter of practice. Just something that we do because it's what we do. And so our spiritual life is that way. We need to enjoy the Lord, and we need faith. I'm not discounting the need for faith. But we also need to just realize this is our practice. The reason why we pray, the reason why we call on the Lord, is simply because it's our practice. It's what we do. And the more we practice this, the healthier we are, the more you exercise, the healthier you'll be. And so, okay, so how about to start? So this outline, we'll go through the outline, and we'll start with Roman numeral 1. Let's read it all together.
Now, Daniel.
Amen. So I really want to set the scene here. I'm not sure how many know the history of Daniel or the history of the Old Testament even, but I won't go back too far, but let's go back to Moses. Okay, so there's Moses, and Moses calls the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they make a journey from Egypt to Canaan, the God-promised good land. But when they got to Canaan, God made a promise with them. He said, if you will be faithful to keep my covenants, then I will be faithful to protect you. I'm summarizing. He will take care of them as long as they are faithful not to. And one of the most important and repeated commandments by God was, don't follow after the other gods. Don't follow the gods of the other people. But you should worship me only. You have one God, and you should worship this God only. But when they got to Israel, and they lived their life in Israel, it was very quickly, if you read Judges, immediately they fell, right away. And not only did they fall, but they fell, and then they got restored back to God, and then they fell again, and then they got restored back to God, and they fell again, and they got restored back to God. And so this happened over and over and over again. And that's why the period of judges, there were a number of judges raised up by God to judge Israel and to chastise them, to tell them to come back. And then you have the period of the kings, and the kings came, and in the middle of the kingship, there was more of this, more of ups and downs, back and forth. And then the children of Israel, as a way of being chastised by God, they were carried away into captivity into Babylon. Okay, and then Babylon was a place that was very foreign to them. That was not their home. And if you read, especially Daniel, you really get the sense the children of Israel never accepted Babylon as their home. They never wanted to be there, and they always were looking for the day when they could return home to Israel, specifically to Jerusalem. And so, and Babylon is very much characterized by a lot of just evil things, a lot of depravity. For instance, in the first chapter, Nebuchadnezzar, or not the first chapter, but in the story, Nebuchadnezzar, issues a decree to have all of the mediums and spiritists killed because they couldn't interpret his dream, you know. And so it's like, what kind of person has the right to do that, you know? And then, so I'm fast forwarding here to chapter 6. So if you have an Old Testament, how about you open to Daniel chapter 6? And I just want to read from verse 4, starting at verse 4, how about we alternate? We'll do brothers verse 4. Amen. All together in verse 9. Sign the writing. That is the edict. Amen. Okay, so this is the situation. Here, the king passes a law, King Darius, this is after Nebuchadnezzar, they passes a law that says you can't pray to anybody but him. You know, and so this, I'm really burdened to give a parallel to show you how much this age relates even to this age, you know. Because you might say, because if this were to happen today, imagine if Donald Trump were to say, you can't pray to anybody but Donald Trump, just hypothetically. Everyone would be outraged, right? There would be like, this is a violation of our First Amendment rights, right? We have a freedom of religion. This is a basic human rights violation that Darius has decreed. And if you pray to anybody, you will be executed. Right, and this is not the first time this has happened. This is over and over again. This happens in Babylon all the time. They were forcing them to. They were changing their names, so they're saying you can't even have your Hebrew names. You can't eat your Hebrew food. You have to eat the Babylonian food. You know, they were making all these rules, but Daniel is such a pattern for us, because what did he do? He didn't, you know, he didn't take to Facebook. He didn't say, oh, this is an outrage. How dare this Babylonian king issue such a depraved decree, you know, that would violate people of their basic rights of religion, you know what I mean? So actually, Daniel, so let's read this again. Daniel 6:10, verse 10. Verse 10 is outline point one. So let's read it again. Now when Daniel came to know that the writing had been signed, he went to his house. In his upper room, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and three times daily, previously. Amen. So this is very good to see Daniel's reaction to the depraved political situation of his time was he prayed, right? And not only was this his reaction, this was he proactively prayed. So when he had heard, it says, when he heard the writing had been signed, he went to his house and prayed. But it ends the verse by saying, because he had always done so previously. So actually, he wasn't even just like, okay, something bad is happening, I better pray. But this is his practice. This is something he had always done. And this needs to be us, saints. Right? This needs to be our practice. We need to be those who see that God has an economy. That our home is not Babylon. This earth is not our home. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And I really enjoyed something Brother Andrew, you shared a few years ago. He said, Christians today lack the sojourning attitude that should come with being a child of God. We need to realize that we are sojourners, just like the Hebrews were in Babylon. We are sojourners here. This is not our home. And I'm not saying that you should have no civic involvement. I'm not saying you shouldn't vote, because I voted. Okay? I voted in the last election. I won't say who I voted for, but I do not have the view of making society better. I have the prayer and the hope that society would be a peaceful place in order for the gospel to go forth. I have the prayer that God would create such an environment that we could be free to speak about him and to build the church in order to bring him back. But as the brother shared last night, everything here is going to burn. Why? It's like we're on the sinking Titanic, you know? We're on the sinking Titanic, and we're worried about putting up, you know, a new chandelier. You know what I mean? It's absurd, right? We're worried about, you know, electing a new captain of the ship, but the ship is sinking, right? We need to get to the lifeboat, and we need to bring as many people to the lifeboat as we can, right? That needs to be our attitude and our goal. And so this was Daniel's attitude. It says in his upper room, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. Why were his windows open toward Jerusalem? Because that was the direction of God's move. That's where God was going. And that's where God's people were going. And he knew it, so he prayed that way. And this needs to be our prayer as well. The windows in our upper room need to be open toward the new Jerusalem. Right? And this needs to be our burden. It needs to be our practice. You know, and I really am very touched that it says he had always done so previously. It wasn't just a reaction, but it was a reaction. You know, it says when he heard the writing, he went to his room. You know, so it was a reaction, but it was also proactive prayer. So it was his habit. Okay, so how about we have brothers read point A? Amen. And then, sisters, on point B.
Today, prayer is the lifeline in the Lord's recovery.
Right.
The more Satan tries to frustrate our prayer, the more we should pray.
Amen. So if you read the footnote 1 in verse 10 of Daniel 6, 6:10 note 1, it says that Daniel read Jeremiah's prophecy that the children of Israel would serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. So Daniel already knew that their captivity would be 70 years long. So I don't know, maybe you're like me, maybe you're not, but I think, well, why would Daniel then pray if he already knew that their captivity was only going to be 70 years? You know, what's the purpose of his prayer if it's already going to happen? And the answer is that our prayer lays the tracks for God to move. God moving is like the locomotive, but our prayers are like the railroad tracks. And you read this, and there's a number of different instances where you can see in the Bible of a prophecy, something that was going to happen, and then the saints on earth not just waiting for it to happen, but taking steps to fulfill it. I'll give one example, John the Baptist. It says he grew up in the wilderness. But the fact that he grew up in the wilderness is quite strange, because his dad was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. So there's no real reason why he should have grown up in the wilderness, except that his father, Zechariah, knew that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. And he knew the prophecy that says the forerunner of Christ would be a voice crying in the wilderness. So he moved his family to the wilderness in order to fulfill the prophecy, right? And so this needs to be us as well. And this was Daniel's case, where Daniel knew the prophecy. He knew that the captivity would be 70 years. So he didn't say, oh, praise you, Lord, it's 70 years. But he said, Lord, come back, right? He said, Lord, bring us back to Jerusalem. We need to rebuild the temple. We're not happy here. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to keep praying. Even I know it's coming. Even if you knew the day of the Lord, let's say you knew the day the Lord would return, would you pray? We should, right? We ought to. And we ought to pray today, as if we don't know, because we don't, right? We need to pray, Lord, return. Lord, come back. And this needs to be our habit and our practice. Okay, and then I'm going to wrap up with just reading. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. Amen. Right. So we come to pray. Why do we come to pray? We come to absorb God. Amen. This was Daniel's practice. Daniel just came and he exercised his spirit to touch the Lord, right? And to pave the way for God's move, right? Not simply to ask. Even it doesn't say anything about him asking for the Lord to lift the decree. Oh, Lord, I don't agree with this decree. We pray that you would lift it. No, he just prayed, right? Maybe he prayed that way. I don't want to speculate. But then this verse on this Roman numeral, John 4:24, how about I would say read it. Let's not read it. Let's remember it, right? Let's remember it together, all together. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. Right. And this goes to the next point too, Roman numeral 3, which says the proper organ for prayer is the human spirit. So I shared that gospel with the sisters yesterday, and they kind of beat me to the punch, because I was going to share that today too as well. The cell phone gospel. I'll make this quick. How if I were to tell you that there's invisible things floating through the air that you can use, you can tap into them to surf the internet, right? To post on Instagram or whatever, you might say I'm crazy. But as soon as you use the right device, the right organ, your cell phone, you then substantiate the existence of the unseen, the untouchable, the unsmellable, the unhearable, right? You cannot, with your five senses, sense these. You can't use your mind to substantiate the existence of the electromagnetic radio waves floating through the air. You have to use your cell phone, right? You have to use the proper device. So we have a spirit. And our spirit substantiates God, in which the spirit, we receive God, we absorb God, and we can pray to God. And this is very important, that we know that we have a spirit. So how about before Brother Abner, how about we, pray reading if you're not reading it? I guess, is it pray remembering? Let's pray remember John 4:24 all together, okay? Spirit. Amen. God is Spirit.
Very good.
Wasn't that good? If you can continue the next 20 minutes, we'll get into the burden of this message. Spirit! But we need to be faithful to the training and say a few things. Amen. How you been doing so far? Amen? Is it good? I moved recently from the West Coast. I live now in Tallahassee, which is a big difference from Southern California. Over there, our college trainings were probably three times the size of what we have now. But let me tell you this, I'm enjoying my time here. Yeah. I love the dear saints there on the West Coast, but this is so much better. Don't tell them that. Edit that part. Having the number being so small, in a sense, it makes it easier to maintain an atmosphere for the Spirit to flow. Amen. Right? So I'm really enjoying my time here with you all. Amen. I hope you also enjoy this time. Yeah. And actually, from the testimonies, the atmosphere, the level of enjoyment of the receiving, the speaking has been very high. Amen. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
So we are in this line. Oh, I forgot the timer. There you go. Didn't work. There. Okay. So this line, can we start by reciting the subject of this training?
Knowing sin. And gaining God in an age of godlessness.
Knowing sin. Gaining God.
Amen.
Weren't you impressed last night with that fellowship about believing that God is? And as a brother was speaking, the words that Bobby Peel mentioned at the beginning of this training came to me. God is speaking something to us, especially in the evening line. And we should be praying, Lord, how do I enter into this that you're speaking right now? And the morning lines, the morning fellowship give us the handles, the practical way to enter, right, in what the Lord is sharing, releasing in the evening line. But as we are right now here, right, receiving some fellowship regarding this line, we should also be praying, Lord, how can I use this for the evening line? We should always be praying how to apply or how to enter to what we are receiving. Amen. And like our brother was clearly mentioned, this line is the line of exercising what?
The Spirit.
The Spirit.
That's right.
Capital S or small s?
Small.
Actually, is the big S and small s. It is not just the Spirit. Every human being have a spirit. But not every human being have a regenerated, enlivened,
right,
empowered, enlightened, fire up.
Amen.
Did I say empower? Justify. Spirit. We will say a little bit more about that. That is what we need to exercise. And this morning line is just to help us to learn what this is. We will not try to expound the word to you or present too many truth. We just want to give you some handles, especially from our experience and from the word, what it is to exercise. And I really like that word exercise. I'm happy that Ryan brought this up. What is exercise, right? Exercise is just, in the physical sense, right? A what? A physical activity. For what purpose? Well, the dictionary says that exercise is an activity, physical effort, actually, carry out specifically to sustain and improve health.
Wow.
Wow. Amen. Do you catch that? Sustain and improve health. We want you to practice to exercise so that you can sustain and improve your spiritual health.
Amen?
Amen. And how do we apply this? We will see, hopefully, later on as we progress in the outline. What I really hope for also is that we get exuberant, excited, jubilant. When we go back to the dorm, we'll be jumping and skipping and screaming and shouting that we have a spirit.
Amen.
You know, from all the creatures, right, man was created in a very specific way, right? For the animals, you know, this and that, plant life, right? Let there be light. God spoke the word, but with man, God took some time, right? And we saw that God is like a divine, skilled potter, right? And he took the dust from the ground, and he formed, right? That word is very key there, formed, right? He shaped it, right? And then he did what? He breathed. I had a mint, so... I knew I was going to do this, so. But listen, when that breath, which is in Hebrew, neshama, right? Neshama. Neshama. Sorry. I don't know Hebrew. But that's a word. When the neshama touched that dusty clay formed thing, it became a living soul.
Amen.
And what came out from God was not God himself, was something from God.
Right?
Right? And that is the human spirit. And I want you to write these two verses. Job 32:8. You should memorize this verse. Listen. But there is spirit in man. The word said so. We are not like the other creatures in God's creation. We are different. We are purposefully and specially made. I pray this with my kids every night. Every night. Lucas, you were specially and purposefully made to contain God. But one day. Not now, you're 5 years old. One day. But there is spirit in man. And what he says? And the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Knowing in the spirit. Right? Understanding. The next verse. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is what? The lamp of Jehovah. Your spirit is what? The lamp. For what?
Jehovah.
To see. You need to see. You need light. If you're in darkness, you cannot see. You need a lamp. That word there, spirit, in both verses, is what? Neshama. The word says so, and we must believe it. Of course, we have 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where it says, and the God of peace will sanctify you wholly, right? And what?
Spirit.
Your spirit,
and
your soul, and your body, right? Be preserved, right? Completely, holy. For what? For his coming. Okay. Time is flying. Okay. But I just want to impress you. There is spirit.
Amen.
And this line is just to help us. We have our spirit.
Amen.
And I remember when it dawned on me, I have a spirit. Second year of college, I grew up in a Christian home, then started meeting in the church life. with the saints, and they all spoke about the Spirit. I will repeat it, but there was not much understanding. But one day walking from campus to my home, I didn't live in the dorms. So I don't know, for the ones who live in dorms right now, I don't know that experience. I don't envy you either. I live with my parents and many situations. But as I was walking, I was musing a little bit in the Word. And this verse, after Summer School of Truth, came to me. But there is Spirit, man. And with my backpack, all sweaty, you know, Puerto Rico, it's hotter and more humid than here during the summer. And it just dawned. There is Spirit, man. I have a Spirit. I have a Spirit. I saw a dog. I'm not lying. I have a Spirit. I began to walk very fast. I had to tell my sister. I have a Spirit. I want to impress you. We have a Spirit.
Amen.
And that Spirit is the right organ. Right, I like that example. The ministry brotherly also bring the example of a radio. Do you know what a radio is? That's why maybe the cell phone is up to date. But like now, you know, this microphone is tied to a transmitter, right? And it's transmitting to a receiver. And what the receiver receives, that radio waves gets transmitted through the speakers, right? We have a receiver within us.
Amen.
Our Spirit.
Amen.
We just need to learn to tune
Amen.
To that Spirit.
Amen.
There's a lot of frequencies, a lot of noise, but we just need to learn to turn,
Amen.
Right? Our Spirit is the innermost part of our being.
Amen.
When we were saved, God came to that very place. When we received the Lord, you know what happened? We got justified in our spirit. You know, to be justified means to be made right according to God's righteous standard, right? God is righteous. And before we were saved, before we received God, we were not righteous. There was an unjust situation there. But when we received the life of God in us, our spirit got justified so we can touch God.
Amen.
Number two, we were reconciled. That reconciliation in Romans 5:10 happened in our spirit through the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, right? Also got regenerated, right? The life of God came in. Regeneration means that in addition of the life that you received from your parents, a new life. The divine life of God came into you.
Amen.
Thus, you were born of God.
Right.
So in your spirit, you became a child of God.
Amen.
I like your testimony, Carlos. Christ, you know, about that hymn, he's our Father. We have the life.
Amen.
Our spirit, God enlivened.
Amen.
I want to impress you, your spirit. It doesn't matter your situation. Your spirit is life. Also, as I mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it got sanctified. It got separated from all the unholy things, common things. Now it belongs only to God, right? Another point. I like this one. In 2 Timothy 1:6, I mentioned to you, our spirit got fired up.
Amen.
There's fire in our spirit.
2
Timothy 1:6, right? Fan into flame.
Amen.
The gift of God that is within you.
Amen.
If there's a flame, there's fire.
Amen.
We just need to fan it.
Right?
Okay, another point. Empower. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of what?
Power.
But of what?
Power.
Of what?
No,
just stay on the first word.
Power.
Dynamos.
Yeah.
strong. Amen. Even right now, to receive this word, we need power. Amen. I want to impress you. We have a spirit.
Amen.
Tell the trees, sorry. I did this one time. You don't have a spirit, but I do.
Amen.
I also told my friends too, you know. We have to tell everybody, we have a spirit.
Amen.
We should be impressed, we have a spirit.
Amen.
Tell that one next to you, you have a spirit. But listen, it is not just spirit. It's your human, regenerated spirit.
Amen.
Of course, here in the title, we follow the title, it's a spirit. But when it says spirit, it means this. Capital S, right? The divine spirit. Mingle, united with our spirit.
Amen.
They cannot be separated.
Amen.
And why I'm spending so much time in this? Because if you want to pray, the place where we need to pray, it's in our spirit.
Amen.
It is in our spirit that we can receive the thoughts of God.
Amen.
The feelings of God.
Amen.
You know, do you know that God has feelings? He has positive feelings and not so positive feelings. Of course, in the Lord's Recovery, we always try to stress the positive side. But do you know that God hates things? You should know this from the first, the fellowship that Brother Willie gave us. God hates something. And if he hates it, we should hate it.
Yes.
Then the question is, why we don't hate it? Right? Maybe because we're not exercising the right organ. Yes, we were born. We were not born in our spirit, physically, originally, right, when we first came to the world. So we have spent so much time in our mind, emotions, will, being influenced by the godlessness of this world, right? You know, godlessness is a noun, right? English majors, it's a noun, meaning it's describing the age today. And as an adjective, it's godless, void of God, right? Either way, it's moving away from God. So we had a life being influenced, right? Then one day God came into our spirit, and now we are learning, right, to turn. Turn. So in this fellowship, we need to learn how to what? Turn. And appreciate calling. Oh, the best way. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
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 These past 3 or 4 months, leading to my moving and where I moved, my youngest son, you will love him if you meet him. He's the cutest thing on earth. He gets out of his bed. He walks toward our room. Papa, 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 papa. He wants me to go with him, right? This is at 6 in the morning. Oh, Jesus. Before, I didn't need, you know, I needed a timer, an alarm to wake me up. Now I have my son. Praise the Lord. Papa, papa. Oh, Lord, I love you. Every opportunity, call on the Lord. Praise his name.
Amen.
Declare his doings,
Amen.
Right? But now, we need to use our human spirit to pray to God.
Amen.
It's about my time. We need to use our human spirit to pray to God.
Amen.
And as it was mentioned, to pray is to do what? to contact and absorb God. That's the main function of our prayer. To pray is to contact and absorb God. And I was very impressed with Brother Ryan's fellowship about Daniel. Daniel knew God. Actually, write this verse as you read it later. Daniel 5:12 and 6:3. Very says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. We want to be people with an excellent spirit. And then you have Daniel 6:10, because he had a prayer life. Not just an activity. Gospel is not an activity, it should be our life. Calling on the Lord is not an activity, it should be our life. Prayer is not an activity, it should be our life. And soon we will read the outline, but in point Roman numeral A, letter B, says that prayer is the lifeline of the Lord's recovery. You want to enter into what the Lord is bringing in the evening line? We need to pray. We need to go back, take outline number 2, and just, Lord, I don't believe. Help my unbelief, right? You know, there's a verse that says that. Help my unbelief. And go to this point, each point, and pray it, right? Pray each point. And as you're praying, the Lord will come to you. Not right at that moment, but eventually, as you pray, as you practice this, then you'll be able to receive God's feeling, right? And when you receive God's feeling, then you have something to pray. You know, in prayer, you have 3 parties. One, the person that you're praying to, which is who? God, right? Hallelujah for God,
amen.
The source of the universe. Then you have the focus or the object of what you're praying for, which could be a friend, receive the Lord, a family member, so many things, right? And then number 3 is a prayer praying person. That's you. Who do you think is the most important out of the 3? You. In this godless age, there's a warfare between 2 wills. God's will, which is absolute, and Satan's will, which is not absolute, right? He wants to seek and destroy, and he's doing everything to go against God. But these 2 wills are fighting for 1 will to follow, and that is our will, man's will, right? So we need to align our will to God's will.
Amen.
One way, prayer.
Amen.
The Lord is bringing so many things here. If our eyes are open to see this godless age, sorry, brothers, when you go to campus, the one sitting next to you in that chemistry class, you have a feeling, God, Lord, I don't want him to go to perdition. What will happen when I meet you? He's there. He's going to say, you were a Christian. Why didn't you talk to me? Because I didn't open my mouth. We need to pray, Lord, grant me such a feeling. How can we have a fruitful, barren life if we don't pray, huh? Do we hate our barrenness, our deadness, our lukewarmness, huh? Do we? If you do, you pray, Lord, I don't want to remain the same.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Let's pray that right now.
Lord,
I do not want to remain the same.
I
do not want to be fruitless. Let's say that.
I do not want
to be fruitless. Amen. But then there's one item, and I just want to touch this very quickly. And then we read the outline to be faithful to the training. When we pray, we need to pray without hindrance.
Yes.
And that point is very specific, and it has been shared thus far, and I really enjoy it, so I don't have to develop it that much. We need to touch our conscience. Prayer will touch. If we want to have the proper prayer, our conscience needs to be touched, right? Isaiah 59 says that Jehovah's hand is not short that he cannot save, nor his ear is heavy that he cannot hear. This is verse 1. Verse 2 says, but your iniquities have become a separation. Your iniquities. Now, it was fellowship that we should not go now and just, okay, God, what is my sin? If you do that, you might fall into introspection, right? But what should we do? Well, there's something in John chapter, in 1 John, the epistle of John chapter 1, from verses 1 to verse 9, which is called the cycle of the spiritual life. I will just mention, and I will end with this, and we really outline. Number one, we have received the eternal life of God, right? Have we? Say amen.
Amen.
So as we enjoy the eternal life of God that is within us, you know what happens? There is a fellowship of life.
Amen.
Fellowship of life between the Lord, between us. And as we have that fellowship of life, you know what happens? The divine light comes in. Fellowship brings light. And when the light comes in, then the Lord shines. And then he might say, hey, remember what you said to your father? Remember what you said to your roommate? Remember this, that? He will not accuse you. God never accused you. He will not accuse you, right? His throne is the throne of grace, right? But he will just shine. What should be an instantaneous response?
Amen,
amen, Lord. Cleanse me with your blood.
Yeah.
So the fourth point, the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
So for the eternal life is verses 1 and 2. The fellowship of life is verse 3 and 7. The divine light is verse 5. And the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, verse 9 and 7. You know, if we confess our sins, he's what?
Faithful
and righteous to forgive us. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so to be faithful to the training, let's do this. Let's alternate from Roman numeral 3 all the way down, and the brothers and sisters, and then all together with the focus, and then we can end my part here.
Amen.
The proper
organ for prayer is the human spirit.
The Bible shows that God is spirit,
and that for us to contact God, we must use our spirit. We need to use the proper organ to pray.
Amen.
We need to learn to reject our mind when we pray. The faculty for prayer is not the mind, but the spirit.
Sorry. Pray. If you don't have a prayer life and you have this practice of always praying in spirit, you're just like me. I don't always pray in my spirit right away. We need to start somewhere, right? So don't be discouraged. Just keep practicing. Right? When you practice, it's because you're going to perform, right? If you are in a sport, if you play basketball, the way you practice is the way that you play. You cannot expect to go to the NBA and be on the first round draft pick without never practicing, right? Right? You have to practice. You need your jump shot. You need everything. So you need to practice. The more we practice. Where do we perform? Well, maybe with a companion, right? We perform, but we also practice. What about student coordination?
Yeah.
Practice in spirit, right? What about the prayer meeting of the church?
Right.
Whoa, that's a big one. How many have been able to go to the prayer meeting of the church? How many of you are scared about it? I know, I was that too. But just keep practicing. Just wait for the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, we love you. Right? Yeah, you're waiting the whole hour. Amen.
Amen.
Just keep practicing.
Amen.
Remember, exercise to practice.
Amen.
Your spirit.
Amen.
To pray. Sorry, let's continue.
We should
Amen. Amen.
We need to exercise our spirit and maintain a conscience void of offense in order to contact and absorb God through prayer, so that we may receive God's mercy and grace for timely help to meet our every need. Amen.
Sorry, brothers, one more thing. In Ephesians 5, just write these verses and then read them later. Ephesians 5, verses 14 to 9 to 21. There he says one critical thing for us to know. Awake, sleeper. The age today is, like Willie said, they're in the surgeon's operating table. They're dormant. They're drugged. They cannot move. They don't know if a kidney or a lung is being taken out. The world is just this way. Godlessness. Godless. We should not take part of that. So awake, O sleeper. And away from the dead, right? And God will shine on you. Later on, he says that redeeming the time. We were told that to God one day, it's like 1,000. There's another verse in Psalms that says that one day in your courts is better than 1,000. You may have the experience of not meeting that much, or maybe skipping meetings or all these things. Maybe lose some time. Well, the more you pray, here right now, we are redeeming the time.
Yes.
Right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There also says there that we need to give thanks for all things, at all times.
Amen.
Good things, bad things, all things.
Right.
And that reminds me, the Lord brought me this verse, and I should have started with this, so I apologize. Psalms 50, 14. I will read it to you. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Just that part. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And in the footnote, Brother Lee says that we might offer things, but there's not much heart in what we offer. That's why, you know, there's a whole story behind it. But we can do many things without any feeling. Preach the gospel, study the word, you know. But when we pray, we need to have a thankful heart. And the footnote says that when we pray with a thankful heart, we get filled with feelings. Our heart gets filled with feelings toward God. And he says that this is the prayer that God is looking for. Just thank God. Thank you, God, for my roommate. Don't pray, Lord, take him away. Yet. Thank you, God, for him. Thank you, God, for this. Amen.